But I want to try, if I can, to pull verse 13 out and try to bring a thought revolving around these verses where the Apostle Paul says, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now I want to try to preach tonight on this thought, measuring your maturity. Measuring your maturity. In verse number 13, the Bible says that we have the opportunity to come into the unity of the faith through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Then he gives us the consummation of what's going to take place when we focus our life on a walk with God and a life that pursues maturity as we sojourn in this life. And he says it's a perfect man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And he says again in these verses, the word measure is used in verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Measuring your maturity. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 or chapter 13 in verse number 5. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. And so Paul admonished the Corinthian church to be aware of their faith and to measure their faith and to prove their faith and to examine their faith as to whether or not they were truly in the Lord Jesus. And that's not doubting. That's not confusing. That's not something that is to promote instability. The Apostle Paul said you should constantly take the word of God and prove your faith and examine it. I don't think that there's anything wrong also in examining your faithfulness, amen, and seeing where your standing is with the Lord. I believe, in fact, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged of the Lord. I believe the Bible teaches that principle in the Word of God. Here in Ephesians chapter number 4, I believe that the Apostle Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus, and my, the truths and the doctrine that they were established in as an early church, I mean, is just beyond your imagination. If you start in chapter 1 and plow through chapter number 6, the church at Ephesus was greatly indoctrinated, and they had an unbelievable amount of truth presented unto them to find themselves in the condition that you read about 30 years later in the book of Revelation especially. But here in Ephesians chapter number 4, the Apostle Paul lets us know that we should look at where our standing is with God in regard to maturity. And it amazes me as I look at the lives of people and the things that they have been exposed to in their walk with the Lord, how that there is such an element in this day of immaturity in a spiritual realm, shallowness when it comes to the things of God. That has nothing to do with how many Bible verses you can quote. It has nothing to do whether or not you have memorized and have an established set of principles in your mind concerning the Word of God. You may be able to define every term in those books tonight. You may be able to give me the principle and purpose of every major Bible doctrine, and even maybe give me a concept of every book of the New Testament. That does not mean that you are mature in the faith. Maturity in the faith is when you can take what you know and put it to practice in your life as you sojourn and walk in this life. Amen. That's very important that you understand. It is the will of God God, that you grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, but grow in grace and in that knowledge in the book of Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. Are you objective enough tonight? Are you solid and constructive enough tonight to examine your spiritual life and determine where you are with your walk with God? Honestly, I'm not asking you if you're a preacher and you've got a reputation to maintain in this building. I'm not asking you if you're a Sunday school teacher and you got to make sure that, you know, everybody in your class thinks that you are superior when it comes to being spiritual. I'm asking you tonight just to be objective and to really take a close look at where you are with the Lord. I mean, it's amazing to me, the people you talk to that have been in church, good fundamental Bible-believing Baptist churches that have the Word of God preached to them on a weekly basis, and how shallow they are when it comes to their knowledge of the things of God. Yet they profess Christ as their Savior, but they can't handle storms. They can't deal with temptation. They can't handle the problems of this life. They do not know how to deal, amen, with the pressures that society places upon them, and they crumble when storms come and when problems arise. They cannot take what they've been preached to all their life and taught since they were a young boy or a young girl and put those things into practice. Something is deeply wrong when you've heard the Word of God preached all of your life and you cannot put those principles into practice, amen, after you are grown, amen, in a full age physically. Amen. This perfect man that we read about here, there's two definitions that's given to us, or two, I guess, positions that are unveiled to us about this perfection in these verses. In verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, there is a progression in that. Amen. There's a starting place and there is an ending place. He says, for the perfecting of the saints, until we all come unto a perfect man. You see those two places? Everybody with me tonight? Look at me now. I promise you, I am far more tired than you are. I am exhausted. And I need to go home and get into bed here in a minute. But this is very important, and you need to hear me tonight. It is amazing at the level, or I should, the low level of maturity in this day that we live. And I am afraid tonight that I am looking at people that's sitting on pews, that's hearing the Word of God preached, that do not respond to the Word of God, that does not allow the principles of that book to be appropriated into their life, and they are immature. Amen. I want you to notice the promotion of maturity in verse 11. He said he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. That's the promotion of that maturity. God has personally taken the responsibility to put in your life everything that you need to grow in grace. Things that pertain unto life and godliness, what we've been preaching, amen, here in the church. Amen. God has taken a personal responsibility and putting in your path of life someone, amen, that would steer you and direct you down the pathway of spiritual growth. What are you doing with that tonight? Verse 11, he put men in your life, apostles. And I could preach this, a message in itself. That's the foundation that you need. The apostles are the foundation of the church. There's the evangelists. They deal with the salvation, amen, of the church, amen. And then there's the prophets that deal with the revelation of the church. And then there's the pastor that deals with the administration of the church. And there's the teachers that deals with the education of the church. And so God has put men in your life to promote, amen, spiritual growth and maturity. I told someone this week, I told Willie's brother Biddle, we were riding together to the tent meeting last night, and I told him, I said, Brother Biddle, God has blessed our church with Bible students, and God has given us some men that can handle the Word of God. I said, I could be gone on a Sunday night and take a Sunday school teacher out of one of the classes, from the little guys all the way up to the teenagers or the adults, and they may not be a preacher by calling, but they have given the gift to teach and have the ability to do so, and I could trust them in the pulpit and be confident that they would deliver more truth than most independent Baptists will hear, amen, in a month's time from what they call a pastor. And I thank God for that. And I don't take it for granted as a pastor. Do you take it for granted as a member? God has put them in your life to promote growth. Have you grown this year studying the book of John? Have you grown in your spiritual life as a result of a teacher, as a result of Brother Pace coming through as an evangelist? Have you grown in your life as a result of a pastor that has opened up the Word of God and preached the Word of God to you? Are you listening to me tonight? Am I registering with your heart? Have you taken those truths and embraced them and gathered them in your inward soul and allowed them to build faith in your life, allowed them to give you structure and stability? God has designed men to come across your path in life to promote growth. Amen. What are you doing with it? Some of you come in here, you don't even take into consideration what is involved in taking a few verses and trying to dissect those verses and gather the truths out of them with a prayerful heart and with a thirst to be a blessing to the people of God in whatever age group it may be, and stand in a classroom and try to help you and strengthen you and guide you, keep you out of sin, take you down the path of righteousness. You sit there like it's some kind of entertainment show. It doesn't mean anything to you spiritually. You're in the same place you were a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. You're no closer to God. There's no level of maturity that seems to be growing in your life. What's wrong? Amen. God has put men in your life. God has put milk in your life. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Amen. Have you ever desired that? Has there ever been a time in your life that you desired milk from the Word of God? If there's never been a time in your life that there was a hunger, there was a desire in you spiritually for the basic practical principles of the Word of God, then you're as lost as you can be tonight. You have never experienced the seed of the Word of God bringing spiritual life into your being, and you need to be saved. I mean, hell awaits every lost individual. I didn't write the Bible, God did. And I'm telling you tonight that if there has never been an inward thirst and a desire for the milk, amen, the practical precepts of God's Word being applied to your life, then you need to be born again. I'm telling you, when I got right with God, I got up out of the altar, amen, and I had a desire, just like a babe has a desire to suck and to get nourishment. Are you listening to me? It's a natural thing. You don't teach that child to do that. If you have to, something's wrong. That's why they worried about those twin boys. One of them's eating, one of them's not eating. And the reason why is because they're 7 weeks early or so, and there's a problem, and we're praying for them, and we're looking for God, amen, to touch them and help them. But it is natural. The doctor knows it's natural. The mother knows it's natural. It is natural for them to desire milk to sustain them and build them and strengthen them. Do you desire it? Amen. Amen. But then you can't stay on it. The Bible tells us that anyone that uses milk, you know, uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. There's a difference between desiring milk and using milk. Amen. You desire milk to grow and to build your faith. Amen. But you don't use milk. That milk is for you as a babe in Christ, as an infant to receive. I'm telling you what, you get past the Ten Commandments. You get past, are you listening to me? And I know where some people think, hey man, we preach the cross and we believe in the cross. We preach the cross. But I tell you what, you get past just Jesus dying on a cross on Calvary and the surface story of that, and you dive into redemption and justification and sanctification and reconciliation and the power of the blood that cleanses sin forever. And you start diving into those principles and those deep biblical truths, I'm telling you, people go down in the depths of the sea of truth and never come up again, because their mind is not focused on receiving, amen, nothing but milk. Everybody wants something real shallow. If you carry them any further than that in the realm of doctrine, it's boring to them, means nothing to them, no interest to them at all. You can't stay on milk. Amen. A babe, after a while, starts getting some teeth. God puts those teeth in that boy's head, amen, so he can chew on something, not just drink all the time. Amen. How is it that we demand advancement in everything? Amen. We demand advancement in everything but the things of God in our personal life. Amen. Now, wouldn't you look like an idiot with a computer that had a 5 1/4 or 5 1/2 floppy disk, big old stack of them sitting on the desk? You'd look like a moron. Huh? Well, Steve, how long you been bow hunting, would you guess? Could you guess right quick? 30 years? What was you shooting when you first started? Junk. How fast would it shoot, you reckon? Junk. Now, wouldn't it be real funny after 30 years you're still shooting that junk? But I don't understand how come we're satisfied spiritually like that. Wouldn't it be real funny or ignorant? Hey man, if you was going out, we was all gonna get together and go hunting. We was gonna go bird hunting or rabbit hunting, and everybody come out there with some kind of flintlock shotgun of sorts to go hunting with. Why, you'd laugh us out of the town. No, we want automatic shotguns, Benellis and Berettas and all kinds of guns, Remington 1100s. We want the best money can buy. Amen. And we'd never settle for something antiquated like that in the realm of technology or anything we want to do. But we're satisfied spiritually, amen, to be antique, old, and shriveled up and shallow with no growth. Have you grown any? Does it bother you? Does it bother you that you're exactly where you were at 5 or 6 years ago in your walk with God? God has given you men. God has given you milk. God has supplied meat. Paul, dealing in the book of Hebrews, the whole book revolves around spiritual maturity, and you should know that by now. When we preached through that book for the period of time, we labored in the book of Hebrews, and Paul says, "For when the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." He said to Corinth, he said, "Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men." He said, "Wake up and realize there is a walk with God, and you're crawling around on your hands and knees." Amen. He said, brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Are you able to bear it? For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? He said, you're walking around like men, but your spiritual life is still in its infancy. The promotion of maturity is that God has given meat that you can chew on. I mean, I meditated on these verses today, and I thought to myself, sitting back there in my office and in the study, I said, there is no way that I can unveil these truths. God's just feeding my soul, and God's just opening up phrase and words. It's more than just the surface of the story and concept that's being presented in these verses, but there is a depth to them that can grab a hold of your soul and establish you in the faith, give you joy in the midst of this wicked society that we live in as you serve the Lord. The promotion of maturity. Then I thought about the purpose of maturity. Verse 12 says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There's a maturing purpose. For you to advance, be stronger, and be established. That's why God wants you to grow. That's why God wants you to mature yourself in the faith. You ever heard somebody say this? Well, I think about leaving the church. Preacher, he ain't preaching like he used to. And, you know, it seemed like he's let up a little bit here. And I'm just really not getting fed. You ever heard anybody say that? I'm not getting fed like I used to. Well, the fact of the matter is, you're not supposed to be fed unless you're a babe. The only ones that has to be fed is babes. You give sugar tit to a babe, not to a full-grown individual. A man feeds himself. She feeds you. She irons your clothes. I had to iron my own clothes this week. That ain't the will of God. It ain't the will of God for a man to iron his clothes. I can tell you that right now. Amen. Your mama feed you tonight before you came? Set you down? Open your mouth up? Open your mouth. Big and wide. Well, you fed yourself. Well, I'm going to tell you something, amen. I know what the Bible tells me that I'm supposed to do. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. I know what the Word of God tells me that I'm supposed to do, amen. But I'm going to tell you something that you're responsible for. You're responsible when the table is prepared and the food is laid out. I don't mind taking someone that's just been saved, never been around the things of God, and helping them and nurturing them along and feeding them. But if I have to spoon feed you every day of your life and you never seem to grow, every day you come, you sit down and you look at, amen, the preacher ask him to break it up in little bitty pieces so you don't have to chew any yourself. There's something bad wrong with you spiritually. Thank God for meat. I'll tell you what, if you love the Word of God and you have a desire to serve the Lord, God will feed you out of that book with meat. God will show you things in that book and you'll be so excited about it and you'll come to church and you'll say, man, let me tell you what the Lord showed me. Amen. Today, let me tell you what God revealed to me in His Word. And you'll start telling people and they'll just start looking at you like you're talking to them about, you know, some kind of rocket scientist chemistry kind of stuff. Amen. That, you know, it's like Mo or Kevin, one of these mathematician fellas, you know, just throwing out numbers and terms and you've never heard of them in your life. You listen? You ever got around two people that were familiar with a subject that you were completely ignorant of? And they start talking and using terms. Brother Paul, and you don't have a clue what they're saying? But you sat there, you know, like, yeah. You know, you know what I'm saying. But you're clueless to what they're talking about. That's about the way it is today when you talk about something in the Word of God that is past milk and has any substance to it. Are you listening to me? There's a purpose. The purpose of maturity has a maturing purpose, and that is for you to advance. God desires for you to grow. He desires that you be stronger. He desires that you be established in the faith. God desires that you have a stability about you for the perfecting of the saints, the maturing and the establishing and the growth of your personal spiritual walk with God. What about it? It has a ministry purpose for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. God desires that you grow and mature because there's a ministry involved. And within that ministry, we are limited without growth. You'd be amazed, amen. And I realize some people can relate to other people and talk to other people and everything else better and easier than some can. Some people have a knack and a natural ability to be able to converse in a moment of time when they're caught on the spot or something along those lines. And some people are introverted and backward. But I'll tell you what, if somebody come up to you tonight, Willie, if somebody come up to you, Josh Crawford, and said, look, man, I'm in deep trouble. Sin's got a hold of my life. My wife's left me. I'm in a mess. And if God can't do something for me, I'm sunk. I'm going down in the bottom. Can you help me? Can you do something for me? Can you tell me something? You wouldn't know what to say. What's wrong? You wouldn't know where to take the Bible and try to help them. You wouldn't know how to sit down with them and say, look, here's what the Word of God says. Or if nothing else, you can say, I'll tell you what, I was in the same shape you was in. Here's what God done for me when I responded to His will. Amen. Thank God for our staff, and they advance in the subjects that they teach. We promote it. We take them to places so they can hear instructors and people to, amen, help them to get better at what they're doing. But I'm going to tell you, staff, something. I love you, and I thank God for your sacrifice more than you can ever dream or understand. I praise God for you. But I'm going to tell you what, if you think that you can do that and not be responsible to your spiritual growth and your walk with God and all those things be applied in that sense, you're not going to make it. Where are you at with the Lord tonight compared to where you were yesterday? I'm going to tell you what, stagnation will bring death. Stagnation will bring death to what's indwelt in that water. If it's still and there's life in that water, it stays still long enough, everything that's in there will die. And anybody that takes a sip of it will die if it sits there long enough. And if you let your spiritual life set still long enough, everything that's in it that's alive will die, shrivel up, and get cold and callous. And anybody that comes by and takes a drink of it will only see death and receive death from it. There's a purpose for this maturity. The perfecting of the saints. It has a maturing purpose. It has a ministry purpose. What's God have for this church down the road? I don't know about you, but I want to advance. I want to do more. Now, I don't say that saying I want the rest of the pews filled up or the offerings bigger. Or, you know, I want to advance in spiritual things. I want to see us walk with God. I want to see the storm. We faced some storms. We fought some battles. We've been through some trials as a body. But within those trials, has it perfected us? Has it drawn us closer to God? Has it pushed us aside? Where has it taken us to? Now, what path of life has it taken us tonight? I'm telling you, thank God, there's a ministry here, and maturing, the purpose of it, amen, is for the work of the ministry, so that we as a body can do more than we've ever done. Where are you at with that? I remember a few years ago, wasn't nothing for some of you that's in this building to pop up on a Sunday morning and testify, come in with a coat and a tie on, been reading the Bible and praying all week, and jump up and say, preacher, I want to show you what, let me tell you what God spoke my heart about this week. I'm going to tell you, God fed my soul. I want to tell you about it. And now you as dead as 4 o'clock in the morning. I've seen some of you in the choir with a smile on your face and your hand in the air, and something snatch your hand out of the air and wipe the smile off your face. And you know what it is? Stagnation. Being settled and content with being saved and not desiring to grow. That is as unnatural as any child in this building that would stay an infant and never grow and mature, talk and walk and progress. There's a reason. There's a reason for growth. It has a member purpose. Here in verse number 12, for the perfecting of the saint, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edify means to build up, to encourage, to create desire. When you are growing, when you are growing, spiritually growing, you will create desire in others. You will edify the body of Christ. When you are stagnant, you will criticize others. I preached on Preacher I Plan to hold up your hands Sunday morning at 11 o'clock when they constituted that church, to try to challenge and charge that church concerning their responsibility to Pastor Smith and the Word of God that he'll preach and the ministry of that church. Brother Norris preached during the Sunday school hour on the responsibility that the church has to the Great Commission and to itself within the body. Here's what he said. He made this statement. When he made this statement, I'm telling you, God smote my heart and dealt with me about this church that I pastor. Here's what he said. He said, never be critical of one another. Never be critical of one another. Because it'll lead as a cancer and destroy the body within. The Bible supports that phrase, speak evil of no man. Any of us want to raise our hand and say we've never been critical of anybody? All of us be liars, we'd be. Every one of us. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't stop it, put a halt to it, whether it's your ear that it's being dumped in or your tongue that's speaking it. Hey man, I'm going to tell you what do some, you know what it would do some church members in this church a world of good? When they open up their mouth in a negative way about somebody, you need to say, would you shut up? You're no more right with God than a hog. And if you'd get right with God and grow rather than criticizing them, you may create within them and provoke them to love and to good works. And they may be, I'm telling you, this body edifies itself in love, is what that verse says, amen. And if we as the people of God, amen, would grow individually, we could promote growth within the body. The reason why they're backslidden half devils is because you're backslidden half a devil. Because if your spiritual maturity and growth creates a critical attitude toward others, you're not spiritual at all. What you are is a Pharisee looking down your long spiritual nose at everybody around you. Because nobody prays like I do. Nobody reads as much as I do. Nobody loves the Lord like I do. But the purpose of maturity is it's a member purpose. And I'm going to give you one more thing and then I'm going to quit right here. Can I do that and continue later? Go get me some rest. There's a purpose of maturity, right? Does everybody see that in verse 12? Is everybody with me? Is everybody with me? Verse 12. You see that? The perfecting of the saints. There's a maturing purpose. God wants you to advance, are you? God wants you to grow. God wants you to be established. God has a ministry purpose in growth. We are a ministry, and if we are limited because we are not willing to grow and to mature in a godly manner. There is a member purpose in maturity, and that is to edify, to build one another up, to encourage, and to create desire in others to serve the Lord. Does your life and growth and mentality and demeanor and thirst and walk with God, does it cause people to get aggravated at you that are saved? Is your way of serving God really bother people? Or does it encourage them? And pardon me for a personal illustration, but listen to me. I know where I'm at, what I am, and everything else. But I'm gonna tell you what, when I got right with the Lord, my friends were all liberal Southern Baptists by our standard. And I wasn't any different than they were, even though I went to an independent Baptist church. Because I done everything they done, acted like they acted, dressed the way they dressed, chewed the same kind of chewing tobacco they chewed, sang the same bluegrass songs they sang, everything they did. But I got right with the Lord. Okay? And when I went to the first one of them's house after getting right with God, he really didn't know how to act. But I'm going to tell you what, I couldn't hardly talk to him. I was so broken over my sin and the condition that I was in. One of them was a Methodist, a lost Methodist. I led him to the Lord in the parking lot of a Methodist church. One of them's pastor in a church right now. Two of them's deacons in a church. One of them goes to an independent Baptist church down in Constance. But I got right with God, and the way I presented myself to those boys that were not right with God provoked them to get closer to the Lord. And it wasn't anything I'd done. I wasn't trying to. I just got right with God. I just wanted to serve the Lord, wanted to live for God. But the way I presented that walk with God was not in a critical, downplaying way. I just let them know I wanted to serve the Lord and I wanted them to come with me. Amen. Here's what I told them. I said, man, all I know how to do is pick a guitar and sing. And I want to serve the Lord. That's all I can do. And I want to serve God. I want to give my life to God. I'm talking about getting rid of all of them. They'd say, well, we got to do something wrong, don't we? I said, I can't chew no more. God ain't going to let me do it. He's convicted. He said, well, man, a man's got to do something wrong, don't he? But I mean, it wasn't long. God's dealing with their heart and working in their life. They surrendering to preach. We'd be out in the back of the barn sitting around chewing tobacco and singing country songs. And now we're all gathered in an altar lined up from one end to the other. You can ask my wife and we'd be out for hours praying. We didn't know you could pray together. One'd be over here praying. We'd wait till he got done. Pray for 30 minutes. Then the next one would pray. And the next one would pray. Boys, girls, women, the whole lot. We just pray. And we didn't know no better. We wanted to live for God. Has your life and your growth and your maturity built anyone up? Has it edified anybody? Has it established anybody? Has it caused a desire in anyone else's heart to live for Jesus? I said, preacher, what happened to them young men? I don't know. You tell me. Is it because you stagnant that they died? Is it because they could see no life or no growth in you? You're just still and they couldn't stand to be a part of something that ain't moving? And they saw the world and the devil painted in their mind as something that's moving? Amen. Let me ask you high school kids something. I love you to death. Amen. I do. I do. I love you more than you can ever dream. And I'd fight the world for you. I would. I promise you. And I ain't just saying that to win your favor. I love you. But are you growing in the Lord tonight?
We had the little ball game the other day, you know, and they had to ask a Bible, answer a Bible question. And that's a part of the, you know, part of the class that we done. We done it that way just to promote learning. But the whole purpose of that, Allison, was for you to get a handle on the Word of God. And just like my wife tries to promote the math in your mind to get you ready for the next level, that's in a carnal sense. My desire is to get you to take a step spiritually and go from spiritual basic math to algebra, spiritual advanced math and calculus. That's the point I'm trying to make. Amen. Go on. Are you listening to me? Are you content? Are you content with just sitting there counting, you know, money and balancing your checkbook? Or do you want to know enough about it, Kevin, to build a bridge and know exactly the calculations that have to be in place to hold up a transfer truck that's got 80,000 pounds on it when it goes across that river? Spiritually speaking.
Amen.
Basic math ain't going to teach you how to build that bridge. And I'm telling you, spiritual advancement will enable you to do more for the glory of God than you ever dreamed you could do if we would just move forward and grow and mature and thirst for God to work in our lives. Where are you at? Where are you at tonight? Where are you at with God? Charity, where are you at tonight? How far are you going to go? Are you done? Are you finished, Travis? Is this as far as you're going to go? We want to advance in everything. We want a dog that'll tree a coon faster. We want to play better golf. We want a driver that'll help us hit it straighter. You listening to me? We're not going to be content with our basketball game or our weightlifting or anything else, but spiritually we'll sit in the ashes of the past and never grow or advance in our walk with God. There's a purpose for this maturity. It has a ministry and a member purpose. I'm going to give you this one point on the problem because I think I need to say this tonight before I go any further. The problem of immaturity is seen in the next verse, verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. I'm not going to deal with every aspect of that verse tonight, just the first part of it. There's a problem with immaturity. The first problem is you act like a child. And I just want to outline it this way, and I'm just going to give you the first S in the outline. When you are immature spiritually, you do some silly things. Sometimes it's kind of an innocent thing, but sometimes it can get a little out of hand. Now, if Jacqueline was back there in the back room with the door open, propped open, and she was changing Trey there, say on the floor or something, maybe he just messed everything up. You know, she takes his shirt off and he's got mess everywhere, pulls his clothes off to try to change him. And she turns and goes to the bag where she's got all that stuff, you know, to redo everything and to change him. And all of a sudden he pops up and we're all out here fellowshipping. And he comes dashing out the door and running down the aisle. He's as naked as a jaybird. He ain't thinking a thing about it. Don't bother him a bit. Be honest with you, it won't bother you. You think, well, he got away from his mom. Here comes Jackie running down the aisle, trying to reach and grab me, zigzagging. And you know what I'm saying? Come here, boy. We'll laugh and say, he got away from his mama, didn't he? Bless his heart. Look at him. Ain't that something? But now, if Jill did that, we'd have a little bit different way of thinking about it, wouldn't we? Would we not? Amen. And if Joel did it, I mean, we would really think, there's something bad, wrong going on here. That boy's running around here without no clothes on. And we could just keep on going all the way to Harry. And it gets pretty ridiculous. But now we'll be satisfied with our spiritual condition like that. Just running around with nothing on, spiritually speaking. Shallow, no depth to our walk with God. Can't talk about anything spiritual for 5 minutes. We know more about the ball games and the ball players and the sports and our hobbies than anything about God. And we're as stagnant and as dead and as unproductive as we can be in our personal lives, individually in our personal lives. I'm not talking about as a group. I'm talking about you personally tonight and me personally. Right. Have you grown, Brother Keith? When you sit down and you consider what God has put in your path, a Sunday school teacher that prays and studies, evangelists that come in and out of here that pour their heart out preaching the Word of God, a preacher that's tried to pastor you and declare truth to you and tell you what's right, and then you stop and think for just a minute at what God has exposed you to and where you're at right now. You don't come and worship. I mean, it just takes a miracle of God to move you spiritually in any fashion. There's no hunger, no thirst for spiritual things in your life. It's pretty silly, isn't it? It's pretty silly for you to be running around here in the shape you're in, as old as you are. You're not Trey anymore. Most of you, very few of you would be even in Jillian or Joel age group spiritually from what you've been exposed to. Can you imagine Brother Jim being exposed to eggs and meat and groceries and all he's been exposed to all these years and acting like Trey? That'd be silly. You'd think, that's the silliest man I ever met in my life. But that's exactly what we do spiritually when we have been exposed to the things we've been exposed to. We are shallow. And we have no consistent, established advancement taking place spiritually in our life. And some of you's got in a lot of trouble with the flesh because you stood still and wouldn't go any further. Because stagnation brings death. But I'm going to tell you what. You want to get victory over sin and the flesh? I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I'm talking about perfection, though. Maturing. Start growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus.